Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this church. We thank you for the men and women who are here. And we thank you for this message, Lord. We thank you that you have given us a book that we can go to and search out the truths of life, dear Heavenly Father, so that we might better serve you. And I just ask today, Lord, that as we open up this book, that you'll open up our hearts, our ears, and our minds to your word and your way, that men might be saved. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Amen. If you would, please turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter 2. The book of Matthew, chapter 2. And as we go there, I will remind you that we spoke out of the book of Luke just recently, Luke chapter 10. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, because we've been talking about the angels' visits to Joseph, to Mary, and to the shepherds. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, it reads, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Now, we spoke about when he said, "I'm bringing this to you," he said, but it's going to be for all people. It went to the Jew first. Always remember that, church. The salvation is of the Jews, and it went to the Jew first. But when he added that little addendum there, he said, to all people. So now today, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to see where God starts his program of including the Gentiles. Now, the Gentiles have always been part of his program. They've always been part of his program. But now, this is the first time that we see Gentiles introduced to God's program after the incarnation of Jesus Christ, which means that the door is now going to be opened up to everybody. Okay, Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, we will read from verses 1 through 12. "Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born." Verse 5. "And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was." Verse 10. "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Today, based on this first encounter of the Gentiles being brought into the program after the incarnation of Christ, we're going to talk about some things to remember when you are on a mission from God. Some things to remember when you are on a mission from God. There's some lessons to be learned. Like I told you, this is the first group of Gentiles to be called formally into God's plan after the incarnation. Because we have to understand, anybody else before this, if you wanted to be part of God's program, you had to become a proselyte Jew. You had to go through this process of becoming Jewish. The man had to be circumcised. You had to go through the rituals. Otherwise, you were not part of God's program, part of his plan. But now, something new has taken place. It's new to us, but it's always been part of God's program, where the Gentiles get brought in to be part of what God is doing and how he's going to do it. There's five things that we're going to deal with here. Five things. This is just a smidgen of some of the things that you have to keep in your mind when you're on a mission from God. Because now that those of us who have named the name of Christ, those of us who have believed on the name of Jesus Christ, guess what? You're just like these wise men. You are now formally commissioned to do a job for God. He said, and I know some folks don't like this, some folks don't believe, you were saved unto good works. What does that mean, church? Let me give you modern day translation. You were saved unto good works. God's got something for you to do. God's got something for me to do. God's got something for all of us to do. And one of the most important things we got to do, we got to be a witness. We got to be a witness, a stand-up, stand-out witness. You notice that these men, these wise men, talk about witnesses. When was the last time you took a road trip and people were talking about it 5 years later? These guys took a road trip and we're talking about it 2,000 years later. Because it was so impactful in how it showed us how to view when God calls you, what you got to do. When God gives you a mission, when God sets purpose in your heart, what are you supposed to be doing? We're going to talk about today, when you're on a mission from God, God will give you the call, and he will give you the cause. He will give you the call, C-A-L, C-A-L-L, and he will give you the cause. When you're on a mission from God, men will take note of your work. When you're on a mission from God, I like this. You will get assistance from some of the most unlikely sources. That's why the Bible says, be careful, because you might be entertaining angels unaware. Some folks that you might be hating on, some folks that you might say, ah, he's an okey-doke, he's a Rudy. Be careful. Be careful. You will get assistance from some of the most unlikely sources. When you're on a mission of God, from God, God will direct your path. Last but not least, when you're on a mission from God, God will see you through. Won't he do it? Because he's faithful. His nature won't allow him to do anything other than that, because he's faithful. And we'll go through those one more time as we get down through. But let's get started here. In verses 1 and 2, we're going to talk about how God will, when you're on a mission from God, he will give you the call, and he will give you the cause. Verses 1 and 2. It says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Gentiles, to the east of Jerusalem. Now, we don't know exactly. The Bible doesn't give us the details as to where they came from. Most theologians figure they came from the Babylonian area because, don't forget, Daniel served under three kings in Babylon, and Daniel was also the second in command of Babylon, and Daniel was also a great prophet and a mighty man of God. So we figured he was doing what he was supposed to be doing. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were doing what they were supposed to be doing. They were witnesses. But here you see in the scripture where it says, these Gentiles, how many were there? I don't know. Because the Bible doesn't tell us. Though we sang, the first song I sang in church, we three kings of, well, actually, the first time I sang it was, we three kings of Orient. I was about 11 years old. But the wise men, they weren't kings, they were wise men. They were magi. They were astrologers, basically. And they were the men who, they were the most educated men in their areas. And they came because God called them through the vision of a star. He says it was a star. And some theologians say, well, it was this kind of star. It was that kind of star because it couldn't be anything other. They say star. So we're going to go with star. And understand, they're in the east, and they did not follow a star. Somehow or another, in our minds, we kind of fill in the blanks. You know, we read other biblical accounts, and we say, oh, they followed the star to Jerusalem. No, they did not follow the star to Jerusalem. They saw the star when they were in their country, and they understood from something in their oral tradition or their written tradition, we don't know which, but somebody had taught them along the way that this man who was going to be born king of the Jews, there's going to be a special star in the sky, and when you see this star, head to Jerusalem. They didn't follow the star to Jerusalem because you see early, you see a little bit later where it says, oh, there's the star. That's further on in there. But they didn't follow the star. They followed what was written. One day we'll get to that point to where we'll see something that's written, we'll believe it, and we'll act upon it. We got a whole book about it is written. Jesus went through a lot of trouble to make sure that this stuff was written. When Jesus was challenged by Satan in the wilderness, he didn't say, I feel. He didn't say, I think. He said, it is written. And these men, it was either oral tradition or written tradition, when they saw the star, when you see this star, head to Jerusalem, because the one who is born king, not going to be king, the one who is born king of the Jews, you'll find him there. Well, preacher, I thought that they were, you know, magicians and astrologers. And understand, y'all. Astrology, God tells, here's the difference between astrology and astronomy. The difference between astrology and astronomy. One is godly, one is devilish. Okay? Astronomy is science. Astrology is not. God has no prohibition. In fact, he encourages true science. Because true science always points back to the creator of anything that there is. Astrology is a perversion of astronomy. There are folks here, now nobody in here today, but there are some folks that we know who actually think because they were born under a certain sign of the zodiac, they are compelled to act thus and thus and thus and thus. They say, well, you know me. I'm a Scorpio. Well, you know me, I'm a Capricorn. Well, you know, no. The stars don't determine who you are. The Bible says God determined your habitation, and God determined who you were going to be born with. God determined how you ended up here on Sunday morning, December 2017. December 31st, 2017. God determined that. The stars were created by God. The stars are controlled by God. The stars are a creation. They are not the creator. And whenever we put more faith in our zodiac signs, remember, one is science, one is not. And these men, as mystical as they were, and I want you to understand, God meets us wherever we're at. That's what I love about God. He meets us wherever we're at. These people were unsaved heathens, to the best of our knowledge. But when they saw that star and they knew what was written, they headed to Jerusalem. They headed to Jerusalem. They saw the star. That was their calling. And when they got there, they said, "We have come." They knew what they came there. They had their purpose set when they got there. They said, "We have come to worship him." Now, see, that's a challenge for all of us on every Sunday morning, Wednesday, it's actually Monday through Friday. What are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with that one known as the King of the Jews? Are you going to worship him? Are you going to praise him? You going to ignore him? You going to put him on the shelf? What are you going to do with Jesus? A lesson for us to learn from these men. They said, "We come to worship him." They said, "Y'all don't understand what is, you don't, we could, we don't have to think too far back. But just think back when you were utterly and totally lost. When you didn't know anything about Jesus. You were alienated from God. And God stepped in and met you where you're at with the gospel message." These men are saying, "Look, we got other things we can be doing today. We're getting ready to take a very long journey. We got a lot of things we can be, but we have come to worship Jesus." And this is something else. I didn't list this, but I'd list this. When you're on a mission from God, he'll give you boldness. He'll give you Holy Ghost boldness. He'll bring up something in you that you can't keep down. You can't tamp it down. These men went to a foreign country and said to the people in that country, now they knew they had a king somewhere, but they said, we have come to worship the one born King of the Jews. Now they know. How are you going to go into somebody else's country and tell them we're going to disregard the king that you have and we're looking for the real king? That's Holy Ghost boldness, y'all. That's when the Jehovah Witness come talking to you, talking about, "Well, Jesus is just a good man," and this, and you say, "Wait a minute, y'all. I got good news and bad news for you. There is going to be 144,000 Jews saved, and you ain't it." That's the good news, is they're going to have 144,000. The bad news is you ain't it until you get a hold to Jesus, until you believe on the name of Jesus Christ that he's Lord and Savior. He gives you the boldness to go to your family reunions and talk boldly about Jesus. He gives you the boldness to stand before people who've been studying the Bible for years and years and years and years and years, and you can still say, "Start with the Bible. Before you give me any of your philosophy, any of your isms and schisms, start with the Bible." God will give you, when you are called by him, when you're on a mission from God, he will give you Holy Ghost boldness. Amen. And it said they came to Jerusalem. Everybody's in an uproar in America today because 3 weeks ago, the President of the United States says Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. Read your Bibles. Why would the wise man go to Tel Aviv? Why would the wise man go to Russia? The wise man didn't come to America. The wise man came to Jerusalem, because it is, was, and gonna be God's capital. Will it cause some angst and some disturbances along the way? Look here, it caused it already, even in this day and time. But they came to Jerusalem because that's where God said is his dwelling. God said that's his capital. In Isaiah chapter 60, verse 3, and it reads, "And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." Isaiah chapter 60, verse 3, where the prophets said, there's going to come a time when the Gentiles are going to see the light of the world, and they're going to come looking for the one who was born King of Israel, King of the Jews, King of the Jews. Verse 3. Oh, I don't want to miss this. In verse 2, you notice where it says, in verse 2, it says that the wise men came saying, they came saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Since they were looking for Jesus, they came and they posted that on their Facebook. See, y'all think that social media just started with Facebook? This is social media, y'all. It's just not on the scale that we do. This is social. You go into the town, you make your decision, you say, hey, I'm coming looking for this and this and this and this. And somebody's, oh, you mean Junior's house. Well, you got to go down the road a piece to Junior's house and then take a fork. Now, don't go to the left. Go to the right. And if you go to the right, now look for the house with the crooked mailbox. That's Junior. That's social media, y'all. Y'all looking for this. No, this is social media. Right here in action. They put out the word on Facebook, and then guess who picked up the post? King Herod picked up the post. King Herod said, in verse 3 it says, and when Herod the king had what? Heard. He saw it on social media. Amen. All he had to do was get wind of it. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. The second thing that you need to remember, something else that you need to know when you're on a mission from God. Men will take note of your work. Be sure you understand this. When you set out to do something to serve God, people are going to take note. Now understand this too. Sometimes it's not going to be for you. They're going to take note, but some folks are going to be for you, and some folks are going to be against you. Look in the Bible. Look at Nehemiah. Nehemiah was going back home to rebuild the wall. And the Bible says that Nehemiah was going strong, rebuilding the wall. In fact, they asked him to come down off the wall. He said, I can't. I'm doing a job for God. I'm working for God. I can't come down off the wall. When you're on a mission for God, you got to be so focused, because you're going to have folks, you're going to have attractors and you're going to have detractors. And the Bible tells you in the book of Nehemiah that there was a man named Sanballat, and there was a man, Tobias, and another man named Sanballat. And these two men, within the community, everything they could do to undermine the work of the kingdom, they did it. Everything they could do to undermine what Nehemiah was doing, they did it. But when you're on a mission from God, expect some of these things, y'all. Expect some of these things, and don't get deterred, because you have been called by the cross. You've already got a sign. And the cross is the sign of the church, to where we look to the cross for our instructions. We look to the cross for our marching orders. And we look to the cross, and the cross has said to us, go out into the world and tell everybody about me. And don't be deterred, and understand people will take note of what you're doing. Third, verses 4-8, and it reads, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Church, when you're on a mission from God, you will get assistance from the most unlikely of sources. Here you see in verse 6, you see the prophecy written by Micah. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that's a quote from the book of Micah where he says, "Thou, O Bethlehem," saying where the Christ child would be born. But here's the thing that's really, that messes with us as saved folks. When I say you're going to get assistance from some of the most unlikely sources, they're looking for the king. They're looking for the one born king of the Jews. They're looking for him. They can't find him. But look who gives them the information. Look who does the footwork. Look who does the legwork for them. The man who hates them the most. The man who is sworn to stand in their way. He's the one, King Herod. And understand, Herod was a bad man. Herod killed his devoted wife, Miriam, and his two sons because he thought they were usurping his authority. So Herod was a bad man, but here he is because of God's divine protection and God's divine provision. He calls in the high priest. He calls in all the men who should know anything about this child. And he demands of them, tell me where this child that these men, these Gentile men, have come from who knows where. We know they're not from around here. It probably was a fairly large entourage because the people took note of who they were. He says, tell me where this child is supposed to be born. And so they told him. They did what? They went to the scriptures. They went to the scriptures. We, church, let us get to the habit of going to the scriptures first. Before we try to determine anything about anything, let us start with the Bible. Herod couldn't do that because he didn't know any Bible. But at least he had enough sense to go find the folks who knew the Bible. And he asked, where is this child supposed to be born? And they told him. They said, he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. And look in verse 7 and 8. He's talking about this star. They told him about the star. And in verse 8, it says that King Herod called the wise men in. And King Herod gave them the information that they needed to complete their mission. When you're on a mission from God, God will gather folks who are your enemies, people who you're sworn about enemies. And in order to get his mission done, he will use his enemies and yours. Think about this. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, we don't have to go there. I'll just tell you what it says. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. That's the end of the story of Joseph. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. That's the end of the story of Joseph. Think about this, y'all. And this is hard. This is hard. This is hard for God's people because when we be going through stuff and when people be coming, the word is coming at us, and people are messing over us, and people are doing this, and people are doing that, when we, you know, it's always this and this and this. Understand, first off, there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing that's occurring in your life that's not common to man. Nothing. And understand, this is what happened to Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery by his own brothers. Now, wait a minute. I've heard of some low-down, dirty stuff. But Joseph was sold into slavery by his own brothers. For a little bit of change, they said, well, you know, we could kill him or we could make a couple bucks off the deal. And they sold him into slavery. That was evil. Any way you look at it, that was evil. Joseph goes to Egypt. He's working for Potiphar. He's doing pretty good. He's making a name for himself. His master's wife tries to accost him. She was going to make him go on the Me Too thing. But she came at him. She assaulted him. And the Bible says he took off running.
And then she lied on him. And she told her boss, she told her husband, this man tried to attack me in our own house. That was evil. He got thrown in jail for that. He's in jail. Butler and a baker come in. He helps the one brother. He interprets his dream. He gets him out of jail. He says, now remember me when you get out of jail? He forgets about him when he gets out of jail. That's all kinds of wrong. But look at, just please, look at Joseph's life. Before we start saying how horrible our lives are, go to the Bible and look at Joseph's life and look at how so many people meant so much evil to him, but all along he was on a mission from God. And sometimes we know it, sometimes we don't know it because it looks so dismal sometimes. He's like, Lord, have you forsaken me? How did we get here? How did we get in this situation? And we look at everything as evil, evil, evil. And if you don't step back and look at the big picture, that's why sometimes for Christians, we get so myopic. We get so, look at this. Look at what's happening to me today. Look at what's happening to my family. But if you look back at the big picture, the world may mean it for evil. And God has patently designed it for your good and his glory. That's why we're here today. It was a rough road for a lot of folks. But praise God that even though men tried to shut down everything for everybody. There's evil, y'all might not believe this, but there's evil men in every culture. I know that's news to some folks. I'm reading things about what Hitler did in Germany. I'm reading about things what Vladimir Putin is doing today to folks who look just like him. It's not new. But understand, when you have committed your life to Jesus Christ, when you have named the name of Jesus, when you have asked Jesus to come into your life, from that point on, whatever man, whatever people mean to do, to hurt you, to harm you, what's the Bible say? Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Stop whining and moaning and groaning. Count it all joy because you know that God is working with you and through you. And whatever they mean for evil, God say, that's just another stepping stone. I'm growing this brother. I'm growing this sister. I'm maturing them in the faith. I'm allowing them to learn how to take some discomfort and come through glorifying me. Look at all the prophets, y'all. We love the parts about where the prophets, you know, they succeeded with this and they succeeded. But we don't like the parts where they get thrown in jail, stomped, beaten, whooped. We don't like that part. I was just reading the other day about they call it a martyr's prayer that they take over in Iraq, that some of the Christians took over in Iraq. And they wrote out an oath and they said, we will die before we deny. We will die. Before we and I know many of us say that, right? But for us, that's theoretical. For them, it could be today, it could be tomorrow. And they say, we will die before we deny our Savior. Because they're looking at the big picture and they're understanding that whatever these folks mean for evil, when they take us out here and they torture us and they behead us, whatever it is that they plan on doing, it's only going to glorify God and it's going to be for God's good. So when you're on a mission for God and you run into a little stumbling block here and a little stumbling block there, a little something here, understand that God will put some people in your path. He'll put some people in your path that you thought for sure. You thought for sure, this person, they can't be. They can't be no kind of Christian. I was talking to Brother Chad the other day. You know, he's over in Puerto Rico. Brother Chad was talking. And he speaks a little bit of Spanish, but he doesn't speak Puerto Rican Spanish, which is different. It's a different dialect. But I was talking to him. I said, how's things going over there? He said, Brother Will, Pastor Will, he goes, I'm pretty sure I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure I just met my brother in Christ. I said, man, because wherever you go, if you let that light shine, don't you know, God will bring people into your path, because that's lonesome. You over there, you over there, and your wife and your kids are over here. That's the last place he wants to be. But don't you, don't you understand that God is still saying, I take care of it, Chad. Not only will he take care of Chad, he'll take care of each and every one of y'all. Because sometimes you might be in the middle of a crowd and you're just as lonesome as can be. And God said, I put somebody in your path. I put somebody. I'm gonna tell y'all a little inside story. Brother Eddie, he's heard this before. And when I was in business and I ended up making some really bad financial moves, and this gentleman, I let him remain nameless. He wouldn't want me to name him. But I used to sit back in his office, and I used to just argue with him. And I told him, you're the most racist old white man I've ever seen in my life. Didn't like him. We couldn't go anywhere. It was 5 o'clock, so we just sit back in his office and argue. And he was my supplier, and I liked him, but I said, but you're just a racist old man. And, man, when things got tough in my life, and he was a Christian, too. I told him he might be. Just because you got a cross in your pocket don't mean nothing to me. And y'all, God, when I speak about God, he will show you favor from the most unlikely of sources. This man was a businessman. I once told him, and he didn't even deny it. I said, you would sue your mama if she made you mad, if she took something out of your money. And he didn't deny it. He didn't deny it. He couldn't deny it because he was business. Well, things went south with my business. And the long and the short of it, if God had not touched this man's heart, because this man said, I see you, I seen your wife, I seen your kids, and he said, I see you trying to do something. And he helped me. He helped me a lot, y'all. And I want people to understand why I talk the way I talk and why I preach the way I preach. Because I was myopic. I was looking at this. I was looking at Willie's doctrine. I was not looking at the Bible. I was not looking at God's word. God's word is way beyond anything you can look or ask for, y'all. And when God says, that's my people, and he says, that's my people, and that's my person, and that's, don't you deny it. He said, don't you dare call anything unclean that I call clean. And he says, anybody who's named the name of Christ, they're clean, and they're your brother and they're your sister in Christ, and you need to go find out who they are. Because there's other folks who mean a lot of evil for you. And we don't deny the evil. But don't get so caught up in looking at the evil that you miss the good. There's a whole lot of good going on, church. There's a whole lot to praise God for, church. So when you are traveling this journey, when you're on a mission for God, don't get off. Your focus is up here. Your focus is not down here with the humdrum. Your focus is here at the cross. And your goal is to get more people to the cross. And sometimes it's uncomfortable for us. And sometimes it's uncomfortable for other folks. That's all right. That's God's business. You and I. Just stay steady. Stay steady on that march. Keep lifting up the name of Jesus and let God do what God does, y'all. And he'll touch, just like he touched this man's heart about me, he touched my heart about other folks, and that touched other folks' heart. And that's God's plan. That's God's purpose. We're reading a story that's 2,000 plus years old about a group of men. They're nameless. We don't even know how many there were. But we're still reading about how they got together and they came to worship the one born King of the Jews. And they're showing us some lessons here. They're showing us, once you see that star, once you've taken on that, don't get sidetracked. Don't get sidetracked. Fourth thing. Herod said to him, he sent them to Bethlehem. And then he said, bring me back a word so that I could worship him too. He lied. He wanted to kill the child and maybe them too. And the Bible tells us that this little side thing, once Herod found out that he'd been tricked by the man, you'll see that in a couple other scriptures. Herod, when I tell you men mean things for evil, Herod killed. He set out and ate it. It's hard to wrap your mind around this because you think it's almost like a fairy tale. He said, kill every child under 2 years old. All the boys under 2 years. Because he reckoned, because remember, he asked diligently, when did you see this star? When did it come along? He killed every child, every male child under 2 years old. He killed them. He just slaughtered them. That upsets us. But would it also upset you when I tell you that the most dangerous place in New York City is in the womb of his mother? Would that bother you too? Or because we're so myopic, we say, well, that's over here. This, no. It was egregious. It was horrible. It was evil when Herod did it. And it's just as evil to God when we turn a blind eye to it. He says, you're on a mission. Now, I know you got your mission, but I got my mission. I'm the one who set you on the mission. And I'm telling you to give people the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't give them your ism. Don't give them your schism. Give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tell them that there is a way out. Just read about a fireman who delivered a baby 6 years ago. The lady was going, and she went into labor early. He was a first responder. He got there, and he saved her life and the baby's life. He delivered the baby. Everything's cool. Little did he know, this woman said, I don't want the baby. She said, I don't want the baby. Guess what? It took 6 years. She gave him and his wife the baby. Oh, God is so good. God is so good. God, see, because somebody might have just terminated that baby. But she didn't. And she had the baby, but she said, I don't want the baby. And the fireman and his wife said, we want the baby. We want the baby. And she said, when they went to put the baby in the system, she said, well, hey, wait a minute. I don't know them people. I know him. Give him the baby. And she gave him some folks mean it for evil. God means it for good. You don't know until you obey him. You don't know what that person's response is going to be until you say what God has told you to say. When they call you outside your name. I'm talking about the ones in my house. I'm not talking about other folks. God said you're supposed to bless them. God, and not only are you supposed to bless them, God said for that person that you can't stand the most, that person who has said the worst, most horrible things about you, God said, call Brian Lankar. Sue him. No. No. He said, right then, right there, you start praying for him. But I don't want to pray for him because I don't like him. He said, you don't like him, but I love him. And my son died that they might have life and have life more abundantly and have life eternal. Just like I did for you, I want to do for them. Now go be a witness. Ooh, that's where the rubber meets the road, y'all. Can y'all imagine these magi, these wise men, from their foreign country, when they go back home and they're going to tell people that they met the king of the Jews, they came face to face with God, the creator of all the heavens. Can you imagine what kind of ridicule and shame they're going to take at their homeland? But they made the trip. God gave them the call, and he gave them the cause. He said, go and worship him. After you get help from people in the most unlikely of places, most unlikely of sources, understand God will direct your path. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And let this be in your hearts. Let this be an overriding force in our lives, church. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. But I got an education, Lord. I got a degree. I got 2 or 3 degrees. I know this and I know that. Lean not on your own understanding. Because the best you know and the best I know is this much. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Church, look at this in action. The wise men didn't know where he was. They knew he was in, they told him he was in Bethlehem. The king gave him the direction. The king gave him directions to the place. But then the Bible says that they said, lo, wait a minute. I told you they didn't follow the star. They saw the star and then they came. Now all of a sudden, here's the star again. There it says, behold, there's the star. Man, just when you think God had left you alone. Just when you said, Lord, I've gone to the end of my rope. I've maxed it out. Just when you get to the end of your rope. Whoa, lo! There's that star. Whoa, lo! You get a phone call. How you doing, brother? How you doing, sister? God loves you. I love you. Just when you need it the most, God shows you, puts something out there that it just keep you hanging on. It gives you just enough to keep moving forward. And it says, he says, God will direct your path. And verse 9, when they heard the king, they departed. They listened to the king. They didn't. And then they saw the star right after they left the king, which they saw in the east, the same star. And they went before them, and it went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. I'm going to tell y'all a joyful moment, a joyful moment. I'm going to rat my wife out. I'm going to rat her out. Joyful moment. See, sometimes, you know, we downplay joy. See, that's why so many of us don't smile. You don't smile enough, church, because you don't see the joy in the situation. You see the sorrow in the situation. But I'm telling you, if you broaden your spotlight and if you look at it from God's point of view, he says, count it all joy. So if God says, count it all joy, whatever the issue is, I have to look at it differently than what I would with my own understanding. Back to my wife. Okay, it was about 6 months ago. My wife, she's got this one set of earrings that she really, really likes. But the problem is she can't hook them on her ear. She always had to have me hook them, which I bought them. And I thought, boy, that was really stupid on my part. But I'm here to tell you, she always wants me to hook them. So I always have to hook them. Okay, our little ritual, I hook them. And every now and again, she forgets to hook them, and usually nothing happens. Well, this time, she forgot to hook them. This is about six months ago. She forgot to hook them, and we get in the house. Ah! My earrings! And she had taken her coat off in the car. My earring! I forgot to hook them. So I got to go out to the car, and I got to get the earring. I'm looking for the earring. This earring could be anywhere. We had been all over town. This earring could be anywhere. So I go out, man, it's right there beside her passenger seat in the car. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I'm happy. She's happy. Okay, we're cool. Let's fast forward to last week. Last week. My earring. Where's my earring? I forgot. I meant to have you hook them, and I forgot my earring, and it's gone, and I'm like, first I'm thinking, finally, they're gone, okay? I'm sorry. And so she's like, oh, my earring, my favorite pair of earrings. And I'm thinking, well, they're just gone. And so we looked around the house, and they're gone. We hadn't seen them. We had already been out in the car, and we didn't see them. Okay, so then it's time to go again. So we head out to the car. Car's in the garage. And I open up the door for her, and I see my ink pen on the ground. And I bend down, and she says, while you're down there, why don't you look for my earring? The earring is gone. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Jesus. That's rejoicing, church. Now, you might not think it's a big thing, but I'm here to tell you, when God does something in your life, I had to stop. I couldn't believe it. I had completely put that stuff out of my mind, but I'm here to tell you. See, it's those little things, church. When you wake up in the morning, you're feeling a little bit blue. Just think about, oh, God, I was 2 months ago, I was low sick. And look, Jesus brought me through. Jesus, shout. Thank him. Praise him. We picked up that earring and we just started. I will never read that scripture again the same about the woman with the lost coin. I will never read it the same because I saw the look on her face. She shouted. She said, because we never thought we'd see it again. I'm here to tell y'all, God can give you back the joy that you let go. A lot of us, we didn't let too much water go over the dam without joy. You can get it back, y'all. You know how you get it back? You just start praising him. You stop letting all the stuff in the world, you stop letting the cares of this world get to you, and just start praising him. Kids crazy? Praise him. Broke? Praise him. Bad doctor report? Praise him. Winter outside, freezing? Praise him. Just praise him. And when you do, he will direct your path. Last thing. Verse 12, and being warned of God. We talked about when you're on a mission from God, he'll give you the call and the cause. When you're on a mission from God, men will take note of your work. When you're on a mission from God, you will get assistance from the most unlikely sources. When you're on a mission from God, he will direct your path. And when you're on a mission from God, I'm not talking about something that you conjured up. I'm talking about when you're serving God, he will see you through. Won't he do it? You're here today, won't he do it? You've been sick, you've been broke, you've been hurt. Won't he do it? He'll bring you through. And he'll bring you through because he said, Lo, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world. I'm going to be with you. It may be tough. In fact, he even said some of this stuff is going to be tough. He said, broaden your scope and understand, I'm going to be with you. And you know what? They sing that song, That's Enough. I got Jesus, and that's enough. If I get anything else, I got Jesus, and that's enough. God had sent them on a mission. He showed them the star, and he sent them on a mission. And he said, I want you to go, and I want you to find the one who's born King of the Jews, and I want you to bow down and worship him. And I want you to pay homage to him. When you pay homage, that's when the gold, the frankincense and myrrh, that's where you call paying homage. That's the public display. See, God's got enough undercover Christian folks. He said, I want a public display of your love. I want to see it. I want the world to see your love for me. I'm just going to say it. I want that when you are 92 years old and it's 28 degrees in your town, you get up and come to church and praise me. I want to see some public display of your love for me. Church, he will do it and we can do it. Good Shepherd, we got a lot of work to do, but we have a good example. We have a good example when it comes down to what to do when you're on a mission from God. Because the Bible tells me that Jesus said, I'm on a mission. He said, I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. He said, I'm not waiting. And people say, well, you know, no, these wise men, they were seekers. Understand, they weren't seekers, they were responders. Because the Bible says the only reason we love him because he loved us first. The only reason we look for him because he's looking for us already. And Jesus said, I have come to seek, and not only just to seek, but to save. I come here to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, this is going to mess with you. And Jesus says, I'm going to get assistance from some of the most unlikely sources you've ever known. That's you and me. Amen. Amen. You and I have been called into his kingdom. We are laborers in his kingdom. And he has said, I'm going to get these folks who were never a folk, who never had any hope, and I'm going to give them hope, and I'm going to tell you to go out into this world. And I want you, not your neighbor, I want you to give the good news of Jesus Christ to everybody that you meet and everybody that you know. I want you to not get so consumed with your stuff, with the things that you got on your mind and things. I want you to look at this child, give her Jesus. Look at this man, tell him about Jesus. Look at this people group, tell him about Jesus. I want you to be my body. What's it mean to be the body of Christ? I want you to be my eyes. I want you to be my hands. I want you to lay hands on folks, pray for them. I want you to be my feet. I want you to take me to places that I didn't walk the streets of, but I want you to take me there. And I want you to take my message. And I want you to look at folks who you've always looked at with disdain. I want you to look at folks who sometimes you look at them and you would just turn your head just like that. I don't want you to do that, because I never turned my head on y'all. Ever, 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 ever. I want you to be my body. And I want you to be my voice. And I want you to tell everybody that if they'll confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, I want you to tell them they shall be saved. Just a few things I want you to know when you're on your mission sent by God. God bless you.